Good morning, Lena Vista Baptist Church. Welcome to the Sunday morning service, and happy Father's Day. Let's begin our service today by singing hymn number 139, At the Cross. Everybody, please stand.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed and in sorrow die? Would he devote that sacred head o'er sinners such as I?
Sing out now.
At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
On the last verse.
But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way.
Good singing this morning. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Well, good morning, church. Do you know how good that sounds? Let's do that again. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
See how good that sounds, Brother Mark?
Amen. Yep.
It's nice to look out here and see smiling faces. It's great for those of you who are tuning in through the Facebook or through the website. Thank you so much. As always, we appreciate that, and my prayer will be the same. That the Lord will speak to you up close and personal this morning through the singing and through the preaching of His Word, through the fellowship time and the praying. What a privilege we have. So I just want to welcome you. Happy Father's Day. Some of you are still awake. That's good. And we appreciate that very much. This is a really special day, as is Mother's Day and several other things that we celebrate throughout the year. Having said that, I will let you know there will not be a p.m. service tonight. My heartbeat is that if you have family and you have opportunity to be with that family on those kinds of special days, that we should allow that to happen. So we'll miss you tonight, and we'll get back on Wednesday again, and then the following week we'll be back on our regular schedule of Sunday morning, 10:45, Sunday night, 6 o'clock, and Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. A couple things are fixing to happen here. We're going to reinstate our adult Sunday school on the first Sunday of July. Mark the Choir is on the 1st of July, the Wednesday nights. So we're going to stretch those boundaries just a little bit and try to continue to remain socially distanced out as we possibly can. I just really appreciate y'all being here. The food ministry, Brother Rick, is still going to be happening on Tuesday mornings from 8 to 10. So if you have a family member or a friend or somebody you know that needs a box of food plus a few extras, you can come right down here to where we have the choir room is at. We have registration there. Come in, register, get you a box of food. You can do that once a month. So just I hope you have a magnificent Father's Day. If you have the privilege and the opportunity to be with your family today, please make that happen, and obviously give God the glory that you can still do those things face to face. Love you. Appreciate you. Thank you so much, Brother Mark.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Hymn number 330.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
As the instruments continue to play. At this time, we would like the deacons and anybody else that would like to come forward at this time and pray at the altar, please do so.
Gracious Heavenly Father, it is a joy to come into your house this morning to worship you. And Lord, during this day when we get to honor our fathers, Lord, I just thank you for fathers. Lord, they're very important to the society. Many families do not have the leadership of their fathers. And I just thank you for our fathers. Whether if we have them, Lord, I pray today that we would be with them. Lord, for those of us who didn't, our father's already gone to be with you, Lord, one day we'll get to be with them again. But God, I thank you for the Father that we have in heaven that loved us so much that he gave his only son for us. Through that amazing grace, we get to be, we have eternal security in you. So Lord, as we continue to worship today and we honor you with our worship, with our singing, as the preacher brings the word that you've laid on his heart to give, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive the message that you want us to hear. So Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for our people. I thank you for those who can to come because of this virus, Lord, and I thank you for those who do come, and I pray your protection be upon all of us. But again, Lord, for everything that we say and do today, I pray that it would bring honor and glory to you. And Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know you on this Father's Day, what a day it would be if they would accept your grace and your mercy to come to be assured of salvation through you and eternal life in heaven with you. So again, Lord, just continue to be with us through the rest of this service, and we just praise you in Christ, in precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Rick. Our praise song this morning is going to be He Knows Our Name. He Knows My Name. Let's everybody stand, please. Good singing this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. Before Brother Kenny comes, I'm going to sing Because He Lives. What a privilege to sing.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the common assurance. This child can face uncertain days because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's fight. No war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he lives.
Sing it with me now.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Glad he lives. Well, we've been incredibly blessed. Thank you, Brother Mark. If you brought your Bible with you today, I'm going to ask you to turn to two different places. I'm just going to read one verse in two different places. They sound the same, but they're not. First of all, we want to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Put your finger on verse 4. And then flip over just a few more pages to Colossians chapter 3. And we'll look at verse 21 there. Let me just read the Ephesians verse, and then we will pause a moment for prayer. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Would you pray with me? What a privilege is ours this morning, Father, to gather here. What a privilege it is to know that when we pray, you hear our prayers. As your word says that you are at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us. So today, Father, have a very specific request. Lord, speak to us up close and personal. Holy Spirit, would you please make the word of God very, very real? And as we share these verses together, Father, open our minds and our hearts and our spirits to be able to receive them. They are indeed words of truth, because they are from the book of truth, and we know that everything there is absolutely true. We stake our lives on those things that are absolutely true. And Father, we thank you. I want to thank you also, Father, for everyone that's here in attendance today. It looks so nice to look out there and to see folks in the pews. For those who are listening in, maybe from far away, Father, maybe even in our own city, Father, speak to them as well. I thank you for them. I thank you that their concern is large enough, Lord, that they would want to be in some kind of a church service, even though they're not able to be physically present at a church somewhere. Lord, they are present to hear your word, and I pray that you would speak to me, Lord, and speak through me today. Thank you for all that you are and do. Thank you for inviting us into your presence this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Being on Father's Day here, we want to talk about fathers. And I'll try my best not to leave you out, Mom. At some point in time, you'll probably be part of the conversation as well. One of my favorite stories, and I have adapted it just slightly, one of my favorite stories is about the dad who comes home from work and he can't even get the car in park and turn the key off till his teenage son has got his nose stuck up to the window. And he opens up the door, and his teenage son looks at him, and he says, "Dad, Dad," he said, "you have to come look at the lawnmower." "Well, what's wrong?" The boy says, I'm pretty sure it's got water in the carburetor." And at that point, the dad just starts laughing. The longer he thinks about it, the more he laughs. He says, "Son, you wouldn't know a carburetor from a starter. You wouldn't know a carburetor from a spark plug. And you're going to stand here and tell me that you think that there's water in the carburetor." He said, "Yes, sir, I'm sure that there's water in the carburetor. Would you come and look at the lawnmower?" And the father looks around a little bit, and he says, "Well, normally it's in the garage." He said, "Where is it now?" Son says, "It's in the swimming pool." Yeah. Pretty sure there's water in the carburetor. And maybe everywhere else as well. Being dad is often just great fun, you know what I'm saying? And being mom. But, you know, the thing about it is it's an enormous blessing. And God's Word helps us to understand quite a few important things as it relates to our relationship to our children. And I was given this thing called My Father, and I want to share it with you. It's pretty cool. It says, "Well, when I was 4 years old, my daddy could do anything. At 5 years old, my dad knows a lot. At 6 years old, my dad's smarter than your dad. At 8 years old, well, my dad doesn't know exactly everything. At 10 years old, well, in the olden days when my dad grew up, things sure were different. 12 years old, oh, well, naturally, dad doesn't know anything about that. He's way too old to remember his childhood. At 14 years old, don't pay any attention to my dad. He is so old-fashioned. At 21 years old, him? my Lord, he is hopelessly out of date. At 25 years old, dad knows about it, but then he should. He's been around forever. 30 years old, maybe we ought to ask dad what he thinks. I mean, after all, he's had a lot of experience. At 35 years old, I ain't doing a single thing till I talk to my dad. 40 years old, I wonder how dad would have handled it. He was so wise, you know. And at 50 years old, I'd give anything if dad were here now so I could talk this over with him. Too bad I didn't appreciate how smart he was. I could have learned a lot from him. That last one there really speaks volumes to me. My dad went 3 weeks in the fourth grade as his public education experience. He was the oldest of 14 kids, 13 of them born at home in the mountains of North Carolina. And the third week of his fourth grade experience, his dad made him come home and work on the farm. Well, he taught himself how to read. He taught himself how to write. He had great wisdom. I have a 4-year college degree and 1 semester in seminary, which I totally regret. And I will never, ever be as smart as my dad. Some of you can relate to that. That particular generation, if you couldn't buy it in the store, what would they do? They would make it. He's got tools that was handed down to me. To be quite honest with you, when I look at them, I have no clue what it was for. But if it didn't sell it off the shop truck, he'd go ahead and make it. And I had a lot of opportunity. I would have been a fairly decent mechanic today, except for the fact that they have things called baseballs and footballs and fishing poles and driving in fast cars. And that was kind of been my background, and I got interested in all of that. And when I should have paid attention, I really didn't. And then Diane came along. And I'll just leave it at that, because I get in trouble when I go much further than that. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about here. Yeah, thank you, Randy. God bless you. There's one honest soul here in the building. Now, I really want to wish Happy Father's Day to all of you. And my prayer is that God would just richly bless you as you worship here today. There's a whole lot that's been written. A lot of ink has been spilled about fatherhood, about what it should be, what it could be, and even what it is. But I want to share with you, as I've already read this one particular verse, I want to share with you what the Scripture has to say about it. I want to focus on these two passages. They are both written by the Apostle Paul. They are sent to one of them to the church at Ephesus and the other one to the church at Colossae. And these are not, make sure you hear me, these are not random suggestions because Paul didn't have anything to do that afternoon. These are Spirit-led, point-blank, as honest as it can get, Scripture truths from the Word of God. A casual reading of these two verses would have you think maybe they're just a little bit the same. And in some ways, they are a little bit the same, but they are distinctly different. And it would be to our advantage to help understand some of those things. The closer look reveals some distinct differences. So if you still have your finger on the chapter over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." And we'll be sharing from that particular passage as well. Well, what do they have in common? They both address the fathers. And this is all fathers. If you're a father in the building today, doesn't make any difference how old your children are. This is addressed to you as well. Saved fathers, lost fathers, irregardless, this is words for you and I. They're both commands. And I'm making an issue out of this, not to be aiming anything at somebody, but I want you to understand that there's a lot of scripture in the Word of God that's not optional for you and I as believers. We don't get a vote here. It doesn't matter. My opinion is irrelevant when it comes down to this. So these words are from the Apostle Paul, and they are commands. They're not suggestions. He said very clearly, do not provoke your children to wrath. It refers to actions that were taken toward their children by the parent, by the father specifically. Now, Diane will tell you that the remote button on my little handheld thing for the TV has become one of my favorite friends as of late. Because if you own a television set and you watch much of it, you see that there are a number of commercials there that should be put in a Prince Albert can and buried in the bottom of the ocean. Sorry, that's an opinion, and it's also an attitude. I mean, if my little girl at about 8 years old, if I had one, shoved her broccoli across the table at me and said, "I'll sit right here all night before I eat my broccoli," guess where she would be when the sun comes up if it was my house? Yeah, I might get Dale, I see you smiling back there, brother. God bless you. I love you, brother. How many of you are cat owners? Show me. Come on, be real. Okay. You seen the commercial where the little girl calls out and says, "Mom, I fell." And the cat's sitting right here on the mom's shoulder. "Mom, I fell." "Well, we got Band-Aids." "But Mom, it's bleeding." "We have Band-Aids." And then the commercial goes on to say, "You'd do anything for them." And they're talking about the cat, not the daughter. I want to reach through the TV. No, that's a nice TV. But you'd like to have your hands. I'm just being real this morning, church, okay? Just because I'm wearing a suit and you call me preacher, I'll wake up the same way you do. I live in the same world that you live in. And there are just moments when my buttons get pushed. Not only do I hit the remote button when that commercial comes on, but I also close my eyes because I don't want to see it. Listen, there's all kinds of things that you and I can do to provoke people into places where they should not be. Bible said we need to be slow to anger. That's hard. The Bible says be angry, but do not sin. That's hard as well. So how do we get to that place, dads, that we do for our children, daughters or sons, the things that we're supposed to do, and the buttons that get pushed in us, how do we use those buttons to put a filter on them, to have some guidelines, to create some boundaries where we don't cross the line? I'm absolutely certain that there were lots of moments in my growing up that I made my dad very much unhappy. And I was an only child, so he only had one to deal with, but that was enough. It was plenty, okay? And I get it. I've done some really stupid things in my life, and I'm sure if I went around the room and gave you a microphone, some of you might say that you've done the same. I mean, all the way down to standing on the roof of my dad's house with a 5-gallon bucket of green oranges and throwing them at cars. Across the street from the building where he's working. Come down. Now. And he's standing beside the guy driving the car. not very smart. So the testimony of the Word of God is going to tell us some passages about what not to do. It's going to tell us passages about what to do in the same verse. Here's some things that, here's the one thing that you should not do. Don't provoke your children to wrath. That would be one thing if it left it right there, if that was the only part of that whole verse. Don't make them mad. That's nearly physically impossible, is it not? So what's the alternative here? I'm supposed to discipline and admonish them in the Lord. So the Word of God doesn't leave me hanging out here and saying, okay, don't make them mad. Don't get them all twisted up. Don't cause them to have wrath and to live with that wrath oozing out of them like water out of a sponge. Well, God, I get that. I think that's a great idea, but what's my alternative? What would you prefer for me to do in place of just standing there and gritting my teeth? Well, then you admonish them. You discipline them in the Lord. Well, I'm so glad he said in the Lord, because sometimes our admonishment and our discipline is lacking in wisdom. Sometimes what we say and do speaks from a point of anger and frustration and aggravation rather than being willing to stop long enough to consider the situation a little bit. You know, I'm supposed to help them understand what it means to obey, what it means to respect, what it means to appreciate, what it means to love. My response is to be admonishing. So Paul clearly, to the Ephesian fathers here, he lets them know there are other options available for you rather than just getting angry and just stopping in the middle of the stream and doing nothing. You're not left on your own to do the things that I have instructed you to do. You know, it's not required that we get all angry and all twisted up and every response of ours to our children winds up something being ugly. Now, Mark and Brian, I see y'all sitting back there, and I'm so pleased that you're here today. And I told Mark a minute ago, I'm going to use a personal example. And then I said, and then I found out you two guys were here this morning. And he said, well, does that require an adjustment? No, it doesn't. You will remember this pretty good. Say what? Yeah. I'd say chances are good. Both of those boys worked with Diane before I became full-time with her in the lawn service. And Diane's instructions were pretty clear. We don't argue in the yard in front of our customers. Not maybe, not if. We don't do that. That's not going to happen. Well, being intelligent young men and having an attitude and opinion of their own, they would often suggest to Diane that they didn't like the way she wanted them to do a certain thing. And she would say to them, well, it doesn't matter. This is how we're going to do it. But no, here's the deal. You do what I tell you to do, and then when it's all said and done and the dunning of it is over, the doing of it is over, then we'll sit down in the truck and I will explain to you why it is we're going to be done this way. And you know what? That works a lot better than getting people completely, totally angry and getting flipped upside down. And I learned a lot from my wife when I heard those kinds of things. And the whole idea is they got great ideas. And they did. And they still do. And some of those ideas were implemented into the lawn service. But there were moments when you guys just absolutely didn't want the instruction that you were going to be given. And you didn't want to do it the way Mama wanted to do it. But you didn't get a vote at that particular time. And then she would explain to them why it is that we were doing things the way we were doing it. And as a husband, I'm still learning that. Does not require an amen. Okay? Don't provoke your children to wrath. One of the things I hated the most. Why do I have to do that? 'Cause I said so. Oh, boy. Where's that button? Don't you hate that? Come on, church, get real. You give me a reason now, I get a chance to understand it, I probably feel better about it. But just because you said so, that's not much fun. You know, by definition, to provoke, to irritate, to exasperate, to incite, or to stimulate anger within someone. My dad, God bless his soul, when I got to be a young man, he used to love to grab right here and pull the chest hairs would walk up to me and reach his fingers out there. How you doing today, boy? You might as well just slap me upside the head. It just annoyed and irritated me the most of anything he ever did. You know? So how am I supposed to respond to that? Do I lose my composure? Do I throw things across the room? No, I understand that was my dad, and that for him was an act of love, although it was for me an act of irritation. But here, I promise you I'm going somewhere with this. I'm using a lot of personal examples because they make sense to me. And I lived it, and I have an opportunity to be able to share it. You know, this is a command from God's word, dads, that we're not to intentionally do or say things that stir up negative spirit in our children. That means that a calm instruction often works far better than yelling and screaming. I don't know that my dad ever yelled and screamed at me, but he did make his point well known to me, and I will forever be grateful for that in him. Yelling and screaming is a reactive approach. This passage of Scripture practically begs for clear reasons why fathers do what they do and why they say what they say. And Dad, if you have an opportunity to do that, especially those of you with younger children, it's gold from the Word of God. In place of total frustration and aggravation and yelling and screaming and exasperation, where we are stimulating and creating negative feelings in our children or even as grandfathers in our grandchildren, we should stop a minute, hit the pause button, and realize that there's pretty clear instructions here that we are to, not to provoke them, but we are to nurture them in the things of the Lord. We are to share truth. We are to be honest and real, and we are to do that, as Corinthians says, do everything in love. We have a reason. If you want to know what love really is, according to the Word of God, read 1 Corinthians 13. It'll describe for you, and I won't take that time this morning. It'll describe for you and I how that works. What does love look like? Love looks like what it tells you in 1 Corinthians 13. And if you want to go home and read that, I'd love for you to go home and read it. It's a wonderful illustration of what love really is and how it works. You know, to some children, anytime they don't get what they want, they get angry. If I can't have what I want, I'm not a happy camper. If I can't have what I want, I'm going to react to the disappointment of being told no. And I don't know of anybody who enjoys being told no when yes is what they want. I don't care if you're 3, 13, or 103. Being told no is not very much fun to listen to. There's occasions when it's absolutely right. My dad used to say, when I tell you to stop, I need you to stop. Okay, what's the big deal? Well, if I told you to stop and around behind the other side of that bucket, there was a rattlesnake that you didn't see, and you ignored me, guess who loses? It's not the snake. And I hated it when he was right all the time. Yeah. Dads, we have a privilege and a responsibility to do this parenting thing the way God ordered it to be done. Because you see, he understands the nature of human beings because he ultimately made us all. And as I kept looking back at this whole thing, and I asked a couple of my friends this last week, I said, do y'all think that I use my personal examples way too often in the Scripture or in the messages? And they told me no, and I'm glad that they did because it makes it all real for me. Paul says, not only are you not to provoke them, but you are to nurture them. Now, what in the world does that word mean? By definition, it means to nourish. That means that we need to feed them. Something maybe more than a Big Mac. What was it, Burger King we ate till we probably never will go back to Burger King till in the rest of our life. A Whopper burger was what? Buy one, get one for something or other. I mean, we eat a lot of Whopper burgers and over our years and all. But nurture means to nourish, to promote health and to promote strength. To bring up by caring, to educate. So we have an investment physically to feed them and care for them. We have an investment mentally to stimulate them, to promote their well-being and their health. And we have a responsibility spiritually to educate them not only of the things of the world and the culture that they live in and how to discern the difference between right and wrong, but also the spiritual things that God is important in their lives and that they need to serve Him. It's clear that fathers are to be involved in every area of these things in their children's lives. Some did it well, some didn't do it so well. Maybe when I start talking about father, the only thing that enters your mind is I don't have any good memories of mine. Maybe, sadly enough, you might wind up saying, well, I never knew my dad. And I'm sad about that. For those of us who had the privilege to be brought up in a loving and a warm and a caring household, what an enormous blessing that is. And we have that responsibility to pass that on to our children. Sometimes we think about Heavenly Father, and because our father wasn't the guy that we really thought much of, we have a difficult time to come or giving our hearts and our lives to our Heavenly Father. But see, the do not provoke thing is balanced out by the make sure that you nourish and that you bring them up the way they need to be brought up. This is a reactive approach. And this is a proactive approach. And they're vastly different. There's a difference between reacting and responding. Those words are not the same. The definitions in the dictionary are not the same. They're not the same in the Word of God. They're very, very different. It becomes a proactive approach. You know, Paul goes one step further to define what the children are to be nurtured in. That's that discipline and admonition that we just talked about. Sadly, I'm sad to say here that I don't believe at this particular point in time that our culture knows the difference between discipline and abuse. The Bible says spare the rod and spoil the child. The Bible talks about holding students and children accountable, giving them discipline, giving them responsibilities, showing them boundaries, correcting them by maybe talking to them about why they think like they do, dealing with their attitudes and their opinions in a positive way, helping them to understand that there's way more out there than what you might realize. By definition, my friends, discipline means training up, mostly by example and not just words. Listen, words are cheap. But when you live it and you do it and you show it in front of these kids, they really get it. What this world needs today is a bunch of real, live discipline heroes. We need some dads that are not interested in being their best friend of their children. They're interested in being their dad. And what comes along with all of that? Does that mean you can't be best friends with your dad? Of course not. But he's your dad. You want to pick a best friend? Find somebody other than your dad. Training up, discipline, by example, by instructions, discipline, the setting up of boundaries, using correction and chastisement. For a long time, I thought my dad was the meanest man on the planet. Right down the street here was our station, Mom's and Pop's grocery store, service garage. And across the street was the Methodist church, and it's still there. But out back where the driveway was, that was our ball field. And if it had to do with stick and ball, I was all over that. But I could see everybody in the neighborhood, all my friends, I could see them from the driveway of the store playing ball. And I'm pumping gas and cleaning windshields and saying yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and please, and thank you, and checking oil and checking the air in the tires and filling up the drink box and stocking the shelves and taking care of the empty bottles. All this while I can see my friends playing ball. And today, I'm so glad that he made me do that. Because it created a discipline in me that I would not have had on my own. And I bet if we went around this room today with a microphone and we put that in your hand, most of you would be able to share something that happened with your parents. Moms, you have that same kind of effect. And you would be able to say with me, I'm so glad that I didn't get to run the show myself, because it would have looked so much differently than what it looks today. No was no, and there wasn't a lot of argument involved in that. But here's something that I really want you to hear before you leave today, and if this is the only thing that you take with you, it'll be worth coming here to hear it. We need to be very careful, dads, about how we do the things that we do. Not and say, not just that we do those things and that we say, how we feel. How you and I conduct ourselves and how we handle the things that we're both joyful about and not so joyful about speaks volumes in the ears of our children. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14 says, do everything in love. That's not a suggestion either. That's an imperative in the Greek, and it means it's a command. That means I don't get a vote. If I'm going to live obediently and I'm going to be what dad should be as a dad, then I need to pay attention to that. If I tell you no, I need to have an explanation ready, but I need to share that explanation with some kind of decency and some kind of respect and some kind of love, so that those kids will understand not just my voice, but my heart as well. God has called us fathers to be the ones who instill these characteristics in our children. We have that privilege, but we also have that responsibility. Am I living in front of my children and now my grandchildren as well? That shows the values that have been instilled in me since I was a child. If you are around your family, do they know what you stand for? Do they know why you stand for that? Do they know how you live that in front of them and everybody else that you have the privilege to be a part of? You know, by definition, it means not only discipline, but it means admonition. That means to caution against specific faults. Boy, oh boy, I can remember a couple of specific times, not necessarily with Mark and Brian, but specific times when I was a student pastor at Gapway. And I may have shared this with you. If I have, just please bear it. If not, it might be worth you hearing. Our students came to me and they said, Brother Kenny, we want you to do a study on Wednesday night about relationships. No, you don't. Yeah, we want to do something. We want you to study. Let's study something that means something to us. Let's study something that we're always in the middle of. We need you to teach us about relationships. I said, are you sure? Well, yeah, we're sure. I said, well, it probably won't take two Wednesday nights till you'll not be so sure. No, we want you to do this. Okay, all right. So I began talking about the relationships, and then the subject came up about picking friends and how to pick friends. And I said, well, let me give you an illustration, or let me share with you how I feel about friends. Okay. Why is that such a big deal? We all got them. I said, well, if you'll show me your friends, I'll show you your future. What? You don't have no right to tell me who can be my friend. It ain't up to you who I choose to be my friend. Who do you think you are that you can choose? Tell me who can be my friends and who can't be my friends. And oh, did it get lively all of a sudden. And now I'm the bad guy. But the reality of the matter is that my father taught me that if you lay down with hogs, you get up covered in slop. Who you choose to be your friend is going to have a major influence on the direction that your life goes. The choices that you make based on peer pressure may be good or they may be bad. And that choice is going to be yours. So let me make sure that you understand, son, that just because you like somebody doesn't necessarily mean that you need to run with them, because they're taking you down a terrible path that you might not recover from. And I'll remember that Bible study like it was today, because they were all upset that I had the audacity to even indicate that I might have something to do with their friends. Well, we continued to study, and I think it fell on deaf ears, but some of them got it. Dads and moms, told you I'd include you. It's part of our responsibility that comes with parenting. And there's going to be moments when son or daughter is not going to be real happy with you because your position and your point of view is not their position and it's not their point of view. And I will forever believe that that's why the Bible tells us not only to not provoke, but to nurture and admonish in the same process. I'll forever be thankful that the meanest man on the whole planet cared enough to give me some boundaries. And then, as important as the boundaries were, the reasons why I shouldn't cross them. You see, folks, that's what admonition is. That's what nurturing is. Well, yeah, you can make that decision. But I'm just going to let you know, you most likely aren't going to enjoy it because I don't see anything positive coming from that position. My dad gave me just enough rope to hang myself. You want to see the marks? Because that's how we are, isn't it? Dads, we celebrate you today. But I just want you to know from my heart, tell it like it is. Tell it like it really is. For your well-being as a parent, for their well-being as your child. And why is this so incredibly important? Because admonition means to warn. Admonition means a mild rebuke or a reprimand, not shouting and screaming and pointing fingers and telling them what a moron they are. It means to inform or to remind. Part of a father's responsibility is to clearly teach and inform and rebuke when it's necessary about the dangers of certain choices that were made or that were going to be made. That was the point that I made with those students in that Bible study. If you show me who you hang around with and the choices that they're making, and you don't change that, I will show you your future. And they said, well, how are they going to know the Lord if we don't spend some time with them? Very good point. We had a lot of kids coming in and out of the neighborhood. That's an excellent point. But let me ask you this question. Who's influencing who? And it's like a deer in the headlights. What do you mean? Who's the greater influence? The six or seven of these little hoodlums that you're running around with doing things that they shouldn't be doing, or your Christian life? Do you give in to them, or do they come your way? Are you more inclined to be angry and frustrated and disobedient? Or are you more inclined to stand strong in your faith and just tell them up front, I love you, you're my friends, but I ain't going there. Not going to do that. That's not a good choice for me. Mom and Dad, that's part of our responsibility to instill that wisdom in the lives of our sons and daughters, whether they like to hear it or not. Sometimes they're going to see our boundaries as a prison instead of a guardrail. Sometimes no means you have killed all of my fun. No means, wow, why in the world would you do that? No means, gee, thanks a lot. All my buddies are doing that. Why can't I do it? I'm hitting a nerve out here, I know. I'm hitting a nerve in me because I lived it. I lived it. And I'm not speaking at you or trying to judge you or anything else. But dads, the privilege comes with responsibility. It's just, that's the bottom line. Don't provoke them. Teach them. Love them. Instruct them. Give them some boundaries, whether they like them or not. Colossians 3:21. Flip over there. This is the other half of where I want to go today in just a couple of minutes. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And folks, that's a strong word. By definition, it means disheartened. To be despondent. To lose courage and hope. To make right decisions. To be dejected. To be depressed. To be deprived of enthusiasm. Or like my generation said, to be bummed. The whole idea here, folks, is that there are so many things that we get to do and should do as fathers. Some fathers believe that the best way to lead is with an iron fist. You don't do what I want you to do, I'll make your life absolutely miserable for you. You're not on top of your game all the time, I will remind you of your failures. And you won't ever be said thank you, and I won't ever appreciate you, or I won't ever commend you on the things that you have accomplished. And they don't show much of that with love. And Paul's very clear here. He's talking to these two churches how they need to be as fathers. And I'm going to go this far. It's true still today, Dad. With the privilege comes the choice that you and I have that we can seriously damage the spirit of our children by being negative all the time, by never being complimentary, by not giving them love according to the Word of God in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. You know, the real question comes down to this. You know, we have the power and the privilege to guide lives, to teach, to admonish, to discipline, to correct, and to encourage, and absolutely whatever we do, to never, never, never discourage that. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you talking about, preacher? There ain't no perfect dads in the world. Listen, you don't have to be perfect to do that. You don't have to be perfect to do that. I will go this far. I'm sure glad to know that I had God's help. I'm sure glad to know that my dad had God's help. That on them days when I didn't like him very much, he still loved me no matter what. I just couldn't see it. On them days when I'd rather play ball than pump gas, he still loved me, even though I was angry. I need you to know God is a lot like fathers in many, many ways. He has boundaries. He has choices. He gives us those choices. He sets up those things that he wants for us. The real question comes down to this. Am I going to do it my way or am I going to do it God's way? That's why these two verses of Scripture are so incredibly powerful. And believe me, I thought about this on Father's Day. Do you really want to share something like this on Father's Day? Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm living proof that it works. Because I had a dad that did most of it right. Maybe you didn't. I feel sorry that you didn't. It's not too late. Dads, if your relationship with your kids is fractured, I want to tell you, it's not too late. You can't change yesterday. But you can do something about tomorrow. Maybe there's a time when there needs to be a family meeting, and Dad, you need to take charge and sit down and reestablish some boundaries and tell them how things are going to be. And don't forget to tell them why they're going to be that way. Dad, are you the spiritual leader of your family? Are you setting that example so that your kids got somebody to look at to help them along the way? Dad, are you a role model for your children? Can they look at you and say, I want to be just like Dad? And I realize that you cannot do that on your own, with your own strength, with your own power. You're not going to be able to pull deep enough from within to do the spiritual part. Love them. Live an example before them of what's valuable to you. You can't make up their minds for them, but you can live an example in front of them of what's value, if that's valuable. I believe that dads now probably more than ever need to model Jesus to their families, to be in the Word, to be understanding of what it means to be a Christian, to have a devotion and a commitment somewhere. And on this Father's Day, I guess what I really like to say to you is the same thing I said just a minute ago. Are you going to do it your way? Or will you do it his? Dads, I appreciate you. I love you. respect you. Our privilege is also our responsibility. And we take that seriously. And I don't think there's ever been a generation that ever lived on planet Earth that doesn't need mom and dad to live it the way it's supposed to be lived, so that the kids don't have to worry about what's right and what's wrong. Happy Father's Day, fellas. Thank you for being here. It means the world to me. Mark, Brian, grandsons, family, thank you. It means the world to me that you're here. Some of this will relate to you. Some of it you'd probably like to forget. I get that. I'm okay with it, but I appreciate you being here. And I'm going to put a big old smile on my face, because what you don't know is about 3 hours from now, I'm going to be staring down a bowl of Cajun shrimp boil. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thing. And maybe a little bit of banana pudding if Brian's been kind. Don't know. Yeah. Dads, you are incredibly valuable. Don't ever forget it. Granddad, you're incredibly valuable. Don't ever forget it. When you're dead and gone, I hope you will have left something with them that has more than monetary value. I pray that you, who you are and how you have lived and the choices that you have made and the example that you have set, that will be eternal. Everything else will fade away. But that, my friends, will be absolutely eternal. Maybe you're here today and you would say to me, "Preacher, I get what you're saying. I might even agree with some of it. But that power that you're talking about that doesn't come from within me, what are you talking about?" Well, I'm going to be happy to share with you here in just a moment or two. I would want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Has there ever been a time in your life when you stopped long enough to respond to a level of conviction within your heart that, "I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I died, I'm going to heaven. I don't know that power that you're talking about." The Bible says very clearly that when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into our life, lives in our life, and empowers us to do the things that God has instructed for us to do. And it becomes that power, that source of power for you and I. But it does more than that. It saves us from sin that we cannot be forgiven from on our own. Ephesians says that without Christ, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And dead means the absence of life. Without Christ, my friends, we have no life within us that relates to eternity. So if you're looking for the extra power, and I hope that you are, I'm going to pray a simple prayer here in just a moment. Just a simple prayer. And if you're willing to do that, and you'd love to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'd say to me, "Preacher, I want that power. I want to know that Lord that you're talking about. I want to be able to know this book that you bring these truths to us from. I want that to happen today." Well, my friends, if that is your intention, if that is your desire, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you today in your heart and you feel that and you know that through the Word of God He has spoken to you and you want to make that choice, I'm simply going to ask you to just pray this prayer silently that I'm going to pray out loud. It's not complicated whatsoever if you would do that. The good news is that you will belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you drew your last breath today, you would wind up spending your eternity with Him in heaven. Would you bow your heads with me, friends? Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I don't do everything right. I've broken the Ten Commandments and much more. And there's never been a time in my life that I've ever prayed any kind of a prayer or asked Jesus to be my Savior. And I acknowledge that I cannot, no matter how good I try to be, I can't save myself. So, Lord, I do believe that you are Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, for all of those who choose you. I do believe that if I ask you to be my Savior, that you'll readily and joyfully do that. And I confess my sins to you. Lord, would you please forgive me for living a Christless life? Would you receive me now as your child? So, Lord, I admit and I believe in my heart, and I confess, Lord, with my lips, right now, in this very moment, that I choose you as my Savior. Would you be my Lord? And I'll thank you for loving us enough and loving me enough to pay the price for this to happen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It's in your name I'm asking this prayer. Amen. If you're in this church today, we're not going to have a come forward invitation, but if you prayed that prayer, I'd really like to know. Stop me, come down and see me up front here when the service is over. Give me a call. My phone number's on every bulletin. I'd love to know. But I want you to tell somebody. Maybe you're not from this church. Maybe you're listening in. Tell somebody. Tell your pastor, hey, listen, I prayed to receive Christ Sunday morning on Father's Day, and I needed you to know that. He'll know what to do. Maybe you don't have a pastor. Maybe you don't have a church where you're connected at all anywhere. Would you be willing to take the next step and let somebody know? Go to some church somewhere. Talk to some pastor somewhere, to a Christian friend. Share this experience with somebody, because they're going to want to know and they're going to help you along the way. Church, I love you. I thank you. I appreciate you. Dads, I love you. I thank you. And I appreciate you. Happy Father's Day to all of you. And I hope you get shrimp as well. God bless you. You are dismissed.